A story about a family, kids, and identity.
I'm Hallel of Massachusetts, of the United States,
and I am a boy girl.
That announcement to parents Shira and Ari was 3 years ago. Hallel, now 9, is the oldest of 3 children. Through a series of family recordings and interviews with WBUR's Martha Bieminger, they shared the story of how this revelation unfolded and what they're still learning.
Do you remember?
Well, Hallel was crying.
Yeah.
Right, Hallel was crying, and I, you know, we said, what's wrong? And Hallel said, well, Yara and I are playing parents, mm-hmm. and Yara says that she's the mommy and that you're the daddy, meaning Hallel is the daddy, mm-hmm. and that doesn't feel right because I'm a boy girl.
Yeah.
And so it felt a little bit like getting up to the top of a roller coaster where you know, like, okay, now it's going to begin and I don't know exactly what's going to happen next. But what I do know for sure is that this is happening.
Hallel had been gender nonconforming in some way for many years. And you know, I think we had asked ourselves, that was Hallel transgender? Was Hallel a girl? And that didn't quite feel right either.
And we were always trying to come up with this calculation of, like, Hallel's acting girl, like, Hallel's acting boy, like, oh, but what a relief. Hallel has acted boy-like for the past 3 weeks. So maybe this is going to stick.
Make the introduction.
Okay. We're making a recording. Okay, Hallel. Can you tell me what it feels like to be a boy girl?
That's a hard question. Like, I just feel like myself, and that's it. I don't feel that different from anybody else.
What about you as a boy?
So first of all, there's nothing specifically for boys or girls. I just feel like a girl as well as a boy.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, how do you describe that you knew one day that you felt like both a boy and a girl? It's hard, isn't it?
I don't remember it that well. Can you? Do you think you remember a bit better?
Well, I don't. I'll tell you about myself, which is that I always knew that I was just a girl. And it's weird because, you know, people ask somebody who's trans or who's non-binary, well, how do you know that you're trans? That would be like somebody asking me, well, Shira, how do you know that you're a girl? It's something that you know deep down inside.
Something that you choose, and it's something that you know.
So I understand that it's something that you know, but what do you mean it's something that you choose?
You don't choose your gender at birth. But that doesn't stop you from changing your gender eventually. Or changing genders if you're a boy girl. Mm-hmm.
So do you think your parents made a mistake about what your gender was when you were born?
Yeah, but that's normal. Like, I couldn't express and I didn't feel like a boy girl yet.
Okay. So I'm going to turn this off for the night, all right, puppy?
Ari and I found out that Hallel was going to be a quote-unquote boy because they saw a penis on the ultrasound. And so we just marched forward with this impression of what our life with a boy was going to be like. And clearly it was nowhere near what I envisioned, not the least of which is also Hallel being on the autism spectrum, which has created another wave of difference in our family. We parents trick ourselves into thinking that we have everything figured out, that we know what our story is going to look like because of these very basic indicators, and I just think it's such a fallacy.
So, Hallel, I want you to read the title of this article, and I'm curious what you think.
they is the word of the year, Merriam-Webster says, nothing, it's singular.
Noting it's singular rise. Oh. So let me read you this first paragraph. Merriam-Webster announced the pronoun they as its word of the year, marking the rise of the use of the venerable plural pronoun to refer to a single person whose gender identity is non-binary. So what do you think about that?
Wow.
Why wow?
Maybe, like, next year, they will be in the dictionary.
I think it is in the dictionary already.
Already?
It took a while before you started really saying, I want to be called they.
Yeah, about a month.
And now we're all very, very clear about what the pronoun is for you.
Grandma and Papa.
Well, Grandma and Papa are working on it. I know, it's frustrating. It's okay.
So, Halal, I think it's so automatic. We say he or she or they or it almost every single sentence that we say something. So it's like we have a lot of practice using it in one way.
Last night, I figured out how I would make it easier for my teachers and grandma and grandpa and stuff to understand. I could just tell them, refer to me as a group of people. Say they are, or I know them.
Sometimes I have those monochrome days, but other days I have pastel, neon. I think I probably wear more pants, but I do love skirts. Dresses, oh, I love dresses. I wear those all the time.
There was, I think, an internal squeamishness I had about having Halal wear dresses to school. And I realized it's just because it was different and something I wasn't used to. But they have taken such pride in who they are and in telling people.
People usually assume that I'm a girl. If it's someone that I'm probably not going to see very often, I just don't correct them. But usually I correct them.
Remember when we were in the airport in Hawaii and I said, Halal, you're wearing a dress. I don't think you should be going into the men's room even though there's no line. Do you remember that?
Well, I really had to go.
So I was just nervous that somebody was going to tell you that you had to leave.
But I thought, like, all those questions become laws.
So we know that you're protected in Massachusetts, but we have to do our research to understand what the protection is in other states. And that's the part that's a little scary, you know? We want you to be protected.
Some days, I made a schedule on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I go into the boys' or men's bathroom, and on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, I go into the women's bathroom. And on Sunday, I just go to whatever bathroom's to my right.
Really? I don't think I knew the Sunday rule, but that's pretty amazing. I'm very worried about what Halal's future will look like. My kid affirmed who they are, and I made the choice to either accept them or reject them, and I decided to accept them. But what's that going to look like when Halal is 11, 12, 13, adolescence? I hope it's going to be wonderful. I don't know, though.
I don't really want to think about that stuff, because now is now, and I'll know when I live it.
So is there anything else that you want to say as part of this conversation before I give you a kiss and you go to sleep?
No, how about you?
I think what I want to say is I just love you exactly how you are. I loved you when you were born exactly how you were, and I love you now exactly how you are.
You know you recorded that.
I did record it, yeah.
Our story about Hillel was produced by WBUR's Martha Biebinger, and Martha joins us now to talk about it. Martha, great to have you, and wonderful work on that story. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
I want to ask you about a couple of things. I was struck in particular about the use of pronouns as being an important part of this. Talk a little bit about why so important.
Well, people are changing their pronouns and using pronouns like they, as you heard is the case with Hillel. There's just a lot more fluidity with pronouns these days. And they're really important, of course, because they're a key part of someone's identity, like calling them the right name. So to be respectful, we want to be sure we use the pronouns that represent somebody's identity.
Right. Now, the story shed light on some of the complications around that. I mean, Hillel referred to the fact that not everybody across the generations is so on earth with this. And I'm thinking of their grandparents, for example, having a hard time adjusting to this. How do we help folks think about this and support folks who have made this, who have come to this recognition about who they are?
Well, so first, Anthony, you're right, it is generational. But in Hillel's case, their sister, their younger sister, is actually one of the members of the family who had a hard time for quite a while. So Amazingly, in this family, the dad, Ari, as you heard, studies linguistics. And I'll just tell you a little bit about how he described his approach to me. So in short, Ari says that he has been very patient with himself. And here's why. As he studies it, our brains repeatedly connect a person and a pronoun, thousands, maybe millions of times with a close friend or family member. So making that connection, for me, it's subconscious to say Anthony, him. Like I've known you so long, like I don't even think about it. It's embedded in the mechanics of my brain. So to reprogram those circuits, as Ari explains it, if you changed your pronoun today, I need some time to do that rewiring. And that explains why people who use a different pronoun for Hillel, for the first 6 years of their life, have had a hard time changing to they, and maybe helps some of the rest of us understand why it can be difficult to change the pronoun when we're asked to with somebody who is transitioning.
Martha, it was moving to listen to just how supportive and how loving the parents are to Hillel, and that's obviously understandable. This is their child, obviously. But I'm just wondering if there are debates among professionals about how to approach this situation, or is this family really doing it exactly the way it should be done? I mean, is there any debate about this?
So the families of trans and non-binary kids are very well of the research that shows higher rates of depression, anxiety, and in some cases, young people and adults as well hurting themselves because they aren't accepted. So in the mental health community, Anthony, there's not really much debate about this. Acceptance is really the thing that can counter a lot of that stress, showing an interest in the person's experience, asking whatever they're comfortable sharing, just showing compassion. The family in this case really said compassion is the thing that they kind of crave from people.
Sure.
Now, of course, we know that there are conservative religious and political groups debating the acceptance of people who are trans and non-binary, and we're seeing that play out in state legislatures. But in the mental health field, no, there's not really a lot of debate.
All right. Well, that's WBUR's Martha Biebinger. Martha, thank you so much for that reporting. And listeners, you can go to WBUR.org and see and read a lot more about this story. There are interviews and pictures, more reporting from Martha.